And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And today, of course, is our membership drive, and to motivate you to understand what it is we do at CIUT and on the Taylor Report, we're going to be talking to Rabbi David Miviser, who has become a big story. He was in CBC News last night. Later on in the show, we will return to asking you to support the station. But I think that the rabbi is with us. Are you there, David?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Thank you very much, David, for joining us. My understanding is that somewhere near Hebron, you were repairing a road and were arrested.
Exactly.
What is this all about?
That's a great question. Thank you. So repairing a road, you have a certain image if you're in Canada, but this is really like a dirt track that you could barely get through, like in a four-wheel drive. It's full of potholes, big rocks sticking out. It was built like generations ago. And since Israel invaded and took over the West Bank in Palestine in 1967, more than 50 years ago, Palestinians have been prohibited from building roads. They can't do that. And off in the hills, there are several dozen communities that depend on this dirt track road to be able to get out and get anything they need, like medical care, schooling, get to employment, anything. And they haven't been allowed to build roads, but they're allowed to repair things.
Mm-hmm.
So they called, and if they do try to do that, they get horribly harassed by militant, violent settlers who have taken over land there, which is their land. And then the army comes in. So they called and asked for help. And more than 100 of us Jews showed up. There was, I don't know, maybe 70 of us from North America, including myself, and I'm very proud to say my daughter.
Uh-huh.
And also some Israeli Jews. And then it was very significant that other Palestinians also came. Other Bedouin came. So it was over 100 of us doing the most simple thing in the world, just like actually scooping up gravel from the dirt lying around there and filling potholes and using sledgehammers to smash up rocks. So within minutes, the army showed up. They declared it a closed military zone, which they have the authority under their own legal system to declare. And they told us we have 10 minutes to get out. We were very clear that we weren't moving and we just kept doing our work. And then I can say they came in and they arrested us, but they did it in a very, very violent way. And they went for the Palestinians. They targeted and singled out Palestinians right in front of my eyes. They took away two Palestinian journalists who were showing them their press cards. And then they went for our leaders. And then they just, I think they got me because I was like filming it and kind of live streaming it. And I don't know, they just grabbed me and hauled me
off. A serious sin, taking pictures.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, actually, it's not about us. Mm-hmm. Actually, we did that on purpose. We designed a win-win situation. If we got arrested, we make news all around the world, and I get to be on the Phil Taylor Show or the Taylor Report.
This is exciting.
So that's a win. No, seriously, it's a win that people learn about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If they arrested us, and if they didn't arrest us, we would have been able to repair that road and mm-hmm. help those people get in and out the way they need to be able to do. So mm-hmm. the thing is really about the people who've lived on that land for generations and for centuries. They've been invaded. Their land is being taken away. It's a very familiar scenario. I think Canadians who are conscious of the whole process of colonial
mm-hmm.
settler, you know, thing yeah. that is part of Canada's history, that is happening in real time, right now, in Palestine.
Yeah.
And we wanted to call people's attention to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad you did this. By the way, I hope we can have you. You'll be coming back soon, I hope, and making
God willing,
giving speeches.
I thought, you know, when they arrested me and I was sitting in jail, I thought I might be coming back very soon, like that night.
Uh-huh.
But no, they let me stay.
Uh-huh.
No, but actually, you know, seriously, I want to say something. It's very
yes.
timely.
Please.
So your listeners who are in Canada can do something to help Canada make a teeny bit of difference here. Some people might know about the Jewish National Fund, which was set up over 100 years ago to buy land exclusively for Jews. And it acquires land in Palestine, kicks off Palestinians, and doesn't allow them back. And they're, you know, they demolish entire villages. This is like, it sounds wild and crazy, like I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. Like, I could take pictures of that and show you. So the Jewish National Fund raises about $30 million a year in Canada. It's tax deductible because they have charitable status. And they violate Canadian law. They you know, it's very discriminatory, and I would call it racist. You're not allowed to do that if you're a charity. And many other ways they violate Canada's tax law. This has been reported to the Canada Revenue Agency for like 40 years, and the Canada Revenue Agency hasn't done anything. So we launched a petition, a formal, legal, parliamentary petition in the Parliament of Canada, and we want to get as many signatures as we can. The petition closes on May 9th. I think today is May 6th. So we all 3 days to go to the website that I'm going to say right now. And if you want to help, at least go to the website, read a little bit about it, and then click on the link to sign the petition. And that's www.stopthejnf.ca. Stopthejnf.ca. Anybody that's convinced should just go there and sign that. That will really help. And if you don't quite get what I'm saying, but you're curious, please go and learn. And that is one specific concrete thing that Canadians can do. And you know, I think if you're here in Palestine, you would not think that Canada is part of the solution. Canada is more part of the problem, I'm sorry to say. We have an image that we're like the good guys, but we're not acting as the good guys here. And that would be one thing people could do to help move it a bit.
And they should go, I suppose, to Independent Jewish Voices for background, and you have a Facebook. You have a Facebook where people can see you reporting what happened.
Yeah, please. You could go to Independent Jewish Voices and check out that organization that I'm involved with. And if you want, look at check out my name and go find me, but that's not important.
Well, we will
I think you're suggesting that, Phil, because there are pictures and live streams.
Yes.
On my own Facebook page. And the organization that put all this together is an amazing organization. I'm like flabbergasted. They give me hope for the Jewish future. There are people literally younger than my children who created this. There are people in their mid-20s and even young 20s. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Center for Jewish Nonviolence. It came into existence only about 5 years ago. And it's brought dozens and dozens of Jewish young people. I am like the old guy here. It's like they actually said in a bit of processing today, because tomorrow's our lesson, they said, oh, you know, like they're all really into like processing and being all emotional about it, you know, and reflecting on things, sharing that. So they said, oh, like what do you want to tell your loved ones when you go home? And for me, it was like, I want to tell them about you all. You are amazing. You are amazing that you are doing this, that you have this consciousness, you put your energy into it, and you like accomplish so much. Yeah. So it's the Center for Jewish Nonviolence. And I encourage anyone who has a glimmer of interest to look that up as well. And
well, Rabbi David Miviser, thank you very much. We look forward to when you come back. We'd like to have you come and visit. Please do that.
It would be an honor. I really appreciate your interest, and thank you so much for having me on right now.
Okay.
So I'm in Bethlehem. I'm walking distance from literally the birthplace of Christianity, and right across the street is a beautiful mosque. It's the Mosque of Omar. And I prayed there tonight. This is the first night of Ramadan.
Wow.
Hundreds and hundreds of Muslims were there praying shoulder to shoulder, and I joined right in with them. It was beautiful, right across the street from literally the birthplace of Christianity, and it's like such potential for beauty.
What a wonderful story. Please bring pictures of that.
what you just described.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And, and thank you again, David. We're really grateful that you could give us the time. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Okay. Take good care. And bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Rabbi David Miviser, a wonderful man, as he said, it was win-win. If they're going to arrest him, he's going to be in the newspapers. If they don't arrest him, he fixes the road.